The Four Fists by F. Scott Fitzgerald. At the present time, no one I know has the slightest desire to hit Samuel Meredith. Possibly this is because a man over 50 is liable to be rather severely cracked at the impact of a hostile fist. But for my part, I am inclined to think that all his hittable qualities have quite vanished. But it is certain that at various times in his life, hittable qualities were in his face, as surely as kissable qualities have ever lurked in a girl's lips. I'm sure everyone has met a man like that, been casually introduced, even made a friend of him, yet felt he was the sort who aroused passionate dislike, expressed by some in the involuntary clinching of fists, and in others by mutterings about taking a poke and landing a swift smash in the eye. In the juxtaposition of Samuel Meredith's features, this quality was so strong that it influenced his entire life. What was it? Not the shape, certainly, for he was a pleasant-looking man from earliest youth, broad-bowed, with gray eyes that were frank and friendly. Yet I've heard him tell a room full of reporters angling for a success story that he'd be ashamed to tell them the truth, that they wouldn't believe it. That it wasn't one story, but four, that the public would not want to read about a man who had been walloped into prominence. It all started at Phillips Andover Academy when he was 14. He had been brought up on a diet of caviar and bellboys' legs in half the capitals of Europe, and it was pure luck that his mother had nervous prostration and had to delegate his education to less tender, less biased hands. At Andover, he was given a roommate named Gilly Hood. Gilly was 13, undersized, and rather the school pet. From the September day when Mr. Meredith's valet stowed Samuel's clothing in the best bureau and asked, on departing, "If there was anything else, Master Samuel?" Gilly cried out that the faculty had played him false. He felt like an irate frog in whose bowl has been put goldfish. "Good gosh," he complained to his sympathetic contemporaries. "He's a damn stuck-up Willie." He said, "Are the crowd here gentlemen?" And I said, "No, they're boys." And he said, "Age didn't matter." And I said, "Who said it did? Let him get fresh with me, the old pie face." For 3 weeks, Gilly endured in silence young Samuel's comments on the clothes and habits of Gilly's personal friends, endured French phrases in conversation, endured 100 half-feminine meannesses that show what a nervous mother can do to a boy if she keeps close enough to him. Then a storm broke in the aquarium. Samuel was out. A crowd had gathered to hear Gilly be wrathful about his roommate's latest sins. "He said, 'Oh, I don't like the windows open at night,' he said. 'Except only a little bit,'" complained Gilly. "Don't let him boss you." "Boss me? You bet he won't. I open those windows, I guess, but the darn fool won't take turns shutting them in the morning." "Make him, Gilly. Why don't you?"
"I'm going to."
Gilly nodded his head in fierce agreement.
"Don't you worry. He needn't think I'm any old butler." "Let's see you make him."
At this point, the darn fool entered in person and included the crowd in one of his irritating smiles. Two boys said, "Hello, Meredith." The others gave him a chilly glance and went on talking to Gilly. But Samuel seemed unsatisfied.